I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. That's what we stick to, because guess what? The truth is not fair and balanced, and we're here to make sure that we are armed with the truth so that we can defend liberty. Remember, if you do not know what liberty is, if you cannot define liberty, how will you ever defend it? If you cannot define tyranny when it's sitting right in front of your face, how do you defeat it? And we need to make sure that we understand what we're fighting for and who we're fighting against. And that's what we try to do here. Not a talk show, but a teach show. Bringing you the truth. And I want to give you a little top 10. Top 10 things that America would do if we operated with any amount of constitutional acuity. The things that you would see happening. Now I'm going to take, for instance, that these things that we are just now waking up and dealing with what we have right in front of us today. There's lots of things that should be different, lots of things that should not be so. But what if we just simply all woke up en masse today, unplugged from the matrix? Top 10 things that we should be doing. Number one, Obama, Hillary, Holder, Boehner, McConnell, Ginsburg, Roberts, and Kagan would all be impeached. There is no question about that. None of those. Boehner and McConnell, even though they're congressmen, can be impeached. We don't have to have a special legislative session on their impeachment. Article 2, Section 4 says the president, the vice president, and all civil officers. Isn't Boehner and McConnell civil officers? All civil officers are to be impeached. Ginsburg should be impeached for her speech before Egypt and the world, telling us that the Constitution is not a document worth following, and that we should follow the Constitution of South Africa or some other country. That is not a perspective befitting a person who is taking an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Her entire limitation of her position, the entire existence of her position, is because of the Constitution. And since she has admitted to the entire world that she doesn't think that anybody should follow it, then she needs to be impeached. That is bad behavior. Alina Kagan should be impeached for judicial misconduct, for violation of ethics, by putting herself in a conflict of interest, by hearing and offering a vote on the Affordable Care Act decisions. Why? Because she was part of the legal team that created the Affordable Care Act. She is in a serious conflict of interest in taking on these issues as a Supreme Court justice, and any other judge in this country would be disbarred, yes, disbarred for doing something like that. Justice Roberts should be disqualified. He should be impeached based on his obvious judicial legislation in both the Affordable Care Act opinions. They're both completely legislation from the bench. They don't follow the law, and they violate the supreme law of the land. I'm sure we don't have to tell why Obama needs to be impeached or Eric Holder, but I guess we should address the fact that Hillary and Eric Holder could be impeached right now, even though they're not in office. That is a precedent that has been already set, and it's a precedent that we should follow, actually. You don't have to be in office to be impeached. You can be impeached even though you're no longer in office, but once you're impeached, you can never run for office again. I suppose that's why we won't impeach her, right? Because we have to have her in the presidential circus. I mean, what good would a presidential reality show be if Hillary Clinton was not in the mix? Number two, we would not tolerate abortion, Obamacare, marriage, guns, drugs, environment, land management, land ownership, food, etc., 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 being federally exercised powers, and all these activities would be defunded. Number three, we would not call anything the Supreme Court does, quote, the law of the land. Number four, we would not be debating the Iran deal. We would be designating it as a fraudulent contract, therefore null and void, end discussion, period. Five, the federal government would be defunded by the people whenever the House refused to defund unconstitutional federal activity. There would be no such thing as federal funding of anything domestic. We would refuse, number six, to be classified by political parties, and all elections would be open. Number seven, the people through their states would take back all state power, to include but not be limited to the collection of federal taxes. Yes, the states are supposed to be collecting the money that is spent by the federal government from the people. The federal government is never supposed to have direct access to the people's pockets. The federal government was never supposed to be able to directly benefit the people's pockets with, you know, refunds and those types of things. Nullification would be an accepted and widely used practice for unconstitutional laws, by the way, and not for things that the federal government can do. Number eight, no legislation outside the specifically delegated powers would be valid, and there would be absolutely no federal regulatory agencies. Do we realize that there's absolutely no authority in the Constitution for the federal government to have regulatory agencies? The very existence of regulatory agencies is completely unconstitutional. The only power delegated to the federal government are for foreign affairs. Madison said, things like war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce. Those are the delegated powers. Everything else remains in the states. No such thing as war, or any variation of the term, without a formal declaration of Congress. Do you know our framers did that on purpose? They made Congress in charge of formal declarations of war to keep the president from acting as a king. They said when the president has the power to go to war, as executives have throughout history, that executive branches are more prone to war than any other branch in government. And so, since we know that truth from history, we would take that power away from the president and put it into the hands of Congress, where the body of the people control whether we go to war or not. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over personality. Now, some may think that sounds really difficult. But here's the truth. Operating government isn't supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be a simple procedure. It's not supposed to be without its roadblocks, without its obstructions, without its difficulties. Congressmen are always complaining that it's too difficult to do their job. Obama says it's too difficult to do the things that he needs to do. I got news for them. It's supposed to be difficult. Because, you see, government is not supposed to be running over the people like a freight train. They're supposed to have to go through hoops. They're supposed to have to go through difficult votes. They're supposed to have to listen to the people to do their jobs. It's supposed to take time. The rate at which we pass legislation is absolutely ridiculous today. Our framers in their day took years to pass legislation. And we do way too much in way too short of a time. Why? Because government has gotten too easy. Operating government isn't supposed to be easy. Because when it's easy, people are slaves. And so we're going to talk today about some things in government that should be shocking to you. I want to read something to you. We're going to discuss after the break, but I want to read it to you first so you can have a chance to sort of mull over it. This is an article from Jason Reed on the Reuters, and it says, Senate Democrats have filibustered a vote in the U.S. Senate that would have allowed lawmakers to move forward on a Republican-backed resolution disapproving of the Iran nuclear agreement. 42 Democrats voted to keep the resolution from advancing to a floor debate, but 58 senators voted to move forward with the bill. However, the Iran deal opponents failed to reach the 60-vote threshold required to defeat the Democrats' filibuster, thus leaving legislation in limbo. What? What in the world does that mean? Well, here's the bottom line. As Reuters reports, as long as the bill remains stalled in the Senate, President Barack Obama will not have to exercise a veto to turn back any resolution rejecting the nuclear deal, which was negotiated between Iran and six world powers. He will also be able to, he will also remain able to lift sanctions against Tehran as part of the agreement. What does that mean? How do we understand that process? This is double, triple, quadruple negative understanding. What in the world is going on in Washington, D.C.?
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Senate Democrats have filibustered a vote in the U.S. Senate that would have allowed lawmakers to move forward on a Republican-backed resolution disapproving of the Iran nuclear agreement. What in the world does that mean? How do we block this? Iran deal? The can't filibuster, we gotta have a vote in the Senate, we can't move forward, wait a minute, I thought we wanted to move forward on the Iran deal, but we can't move forward. We can't move forward on a Republican-backed resolution disapproving of the Iran nuclear deal. So here's how this works. The Iran nuclear deal, you must disapprove it in order for it not to happen. 42 Democrats voted to keep the resolution from advancing to a floor debate. So 42 senators kept the resolution for disapproving from going to the floor for debate. 58 senators voted to move forward with the bill. What? 58 senators voted to move forward with the bill to disapprove the nuclear agreement, but 42 stopped them. Yeah, only in government does a 42 minority stop a 58 majority. Why? Because we've crafted some kind of congressional rule that says you have to get a 60 vote threshold to disapprove of the Democrats' approval, which then leaves the bill in limbo, sort of like a court taking it under advisement. And since it's in limbo, then the bill remains, the deal remains active and engaged because nobody disapproved it. When I said government's not supposed to be easy, this is not what I was talking about. Controlling government is supposed to be easy. Understanding how it works is supposed to be easy. Its operation is not supposed to be easy. This Iran deal is the complete contradiction of everything that our framers did. It makes government convoluted, difficult to understand. You're not quite sure what you have to do to stop it. You don't know what is needed to stop it. And if you try to stop it, you have to work really, really hard to stop government, which makes it really, really easy for the president to become a king. Do you want to hear how the government is supposed to work? The president shall have power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, provided 2/3 of the senators present concur. You see, there's not a disapproval of the president's actions because that is a king. When the president can make law or treaties, and the only way to stop him is to disapprove, that's exactly how kingdoms work, which is the exact opposite of a constitutional republic. And the only time the president has power to make treaties is by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, provided 2/3 of the senators present concur, which means you know how to defeat the president's treaty by simply you build 2/3 of the senators who don't want to concur, right? 2/3 of the senators present concur. What you need to do is find more than 1/3 of the Senate who does not want this, and that's it. You don't get your 2/3 approval. But that's exactly the opposite of what we're doing here. And we have completely altered the way government works, transforming the president into a king, and you can't even understand the mechanisms. You wonder why people check out of government? Because government has made it so convoluted you can't understand what's going on. And they've done so outside the authority of the Constitution.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So, let's talk about some other things that are going on today. The Supreme Court is completely out of control, and we are taking on issues in the Supreme Court and in Congress that are simply not federal issues. Let's deal with the congressional issue first. Do you know that there is a bill in Congress to get the NFL to change the name of the Redskins? Really? a bill in Washington, D.C. to strip the NFL of its federal antitrust protection as long as it allows Washington's football team to use the name Redskins. How is that? How is that a federal issue? Well, because there's federal benefits. Eleanor Holmes Norton, a Democrat, said the National Football League and Washington's football team, quote, should not be benefiting financially from federal antitrust exemptions while they continue to promote a disparaging moniker that has been found by legal authorities to be a racial slur. Isn't that great? We have legal authorities that define what racial slurs are now. And then we have politicians telling corporations, private corporations, what they can and cannot have as their mascots. Why? Because they're receiving federal financial benefit. Now, I think this is very an important distinction to be made here, because the federal government is not giving money to these corporations. No. They're giving them exemptions, which the government believes is the same thing as giving money. Do you see what's happened here? And these, we need to keep in mind this trend, because this applies to you, right? You get marriage exemptions, you get child exemptions on your taxes, you get exemptions for charitable donations, you get all these exemptions on your tax, your federal taxes. You see, and the government doesn't think there's anything different between giving you money or allowing you to keep it. Because in their mind, allowing you to keep money is allowing you to keep their money, is giving you money. The federal government believes all money belongs to them. And if they cut you a check, then you have to do what they say when you get their federal funding. But now we're going to be telling you, if we give you an exemption, you have to do what we say. You see how that works? If churches are exempt from taxes, then that's actually the federal government giving churches money, which means the churches will have to now comply with the federal government in order to keep their exemptions. You get a child exemption, right? Child credit on your taxes. Well, the federal government can come in and say, well, you must raise your child, you must educate your child based on our standards and show proof of that education in your taxes, or we will not allow you to keep our money in the form of exemptions. This is something that's very, very important for us to understand. You get a marriage exemption as well, don't you? That means your marriage must comply with federal regulation, or you won't get your federal dollar exemption. Because, see, you're financially benefiting from federal exemptions. You, I mean, I don't even know how to say this in such a way that it really, really makes sense. But we got to wrap our brains around this. You are financially benefiting from federal exemptions. No, I'm not. I am keeping my money. It's the federal government that is benefiting from stealing my wages. Do you see how this is all turned around? We have lost track of the fact that the money that goes to the federal government is ours, that it's our property, and now it belongs to the federal government, and we need to be grateful when they give it back to us. And when they give it back to us, or they allow us to keep a portion of their money, then we must do what they say. You see, because power is never satisfied. They're already controlling our states and our local governments completely with this idea of federal funding and federal exemptions. It's coming to your home as well. It's coming to your lives. There's going to have to be a day when Americans are going to be willing to say, I don't need your exemptions. I'm not going to file my taxes with a child exemption because I don't want the federal government dictating to me how my child will be raised and educated. Can you imagine? No federal child credit unless you vaccinate your child according to the federal government, educate your child according to the federal government, feed your child according to the federal government. Well, you're getting federal money, so you can't engage in activity that discriminates based on religious freedom. So you can't, if you're getting an exemption for your child, that's federal dollars, which means you cannot take your child to church because that's a violation of church and state. I want you to see that. Because you see, if organizations receive federal dollars, they're told they can't pray, they can't engage in religious activity. But this mentality that you are financially benefiting from exemptions works the same way. So you're financially benefiting from a child tax exemption, which means you can't take your child to church because it violates separation of church and state. And if you do, then we're going to remove your exemption and you're going to have to pay those taxes. You see how the arm of the federal government starts to control everything. This is not tinfoil hat. This is just simply an extension of their mentality. This is the way it's going to work. You have Democrats saying that the National Football League and Washington's football team should not be benefiting financially from federal antitrust exemptions. The National Football League and the Washington Redskins are private corporations. In the eyes of law and in the eyes of government, we have made corporations the same as people. Let's make sure we understand that. In the eyes of the government, in the eyes of law, there is no difference between a person and a corporation. Which means corporations financially benefit from tax exemptions. So do people, because they're both the same thing. And if people benefit from federal exemptions, then they should be controlled by federal regulation. If you get an exemption on your home in any sort of way, then guess what? The federal government can tell you you can't operate your land or maintain your home unless you comply with federal rulings and federal regulations or suffer the loss of your exemptions. We're going to have to figure out, you know, who we rely on here. We're going to have to figure out if we're going to continue to submit ourselves under the servitude of the federal government for a few dollars. And will we trade our children's liberty for 30 pieces of silver? And we allow the federal government to engage in things that simply are not federal. Please show me in the U.S. Constitution where it is delegated to the federal government to offer tax exemptions. I want you to show me in the U.S. Constitution where it allows the federal government to individually tax people and organizations. They don't have that power. Taxes were supposed to be collected through the states based on the census. That's what taxation is about. And so now we have the federal government, because they can tax and spend and do whatever they want with our money, engaging in the regulation of private corporations and their mascots. So what happens if the federal government decides that the Michelin man, the tire guy, is offensive to fat people? And they say, well, guess what? You receive some type of tax exemption, and since that Michelin man is offensive to fat people, you have to change your mascot. I mean, it just never ends. And we have the Supreme Court believing they have the authority to decide issues on marriage and abortion. These are not federal issues. There's no delegation of power to the federal government to decide on marriage, to decide on abortion. There's no delegation of federal power to decide on the EPA or carbon credits. But we have to run around talking about Supreme Court rulings and the Supreme Court making the law of the land. Courts don't make law. If courts made law, that would be a per se violation of separation of powers. And our framers are not that stupid. Our framers believed that separation of powers was necessary to maintain liberty. Our government doesn't want to maintain liberty. My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
My husband was teaching in Florida his lesson on a righteous resistance of civil authority. The Christian's duty to disobey law. Yes, the Christians do have a duty to disobey law. And if you want to understand that, you can go to my website, go to the video section, and you can see a portion of my husband's presentation, a brief version of my husband's presentation on the righteous resistance to civil authority, and show you Christians' duty to disobey law. But he was teaching here in Florida this righteous resistance to civil authority. And a man in the audience said, well, what do we do? How do we deal with this issue now, knowing that abortion is the law of the land? And obviously you have to know that perked my ears up. And I don't usually involve myself in my husband's educational training classes, but at this point in time, I couldn't let that go. And so I want to use that as an illustration to help us understand the error of that statement. The man said, how do we deal with the fact that abortion is the law of the land? And so I asked him, what law did Congress pass making abortion legal? Of course there's no law that Congress passed making abortion legal. Abortion was never legalized by congressional law. Even if it did, it wouldn't matter because it's not a federal power. But I'm just saying, hey, there is no law that makes abortion legal. What we have is a Supreme Court opinion that states that life does not exist until it's viable And since life does not exist until it's viable outside the womb, meaning once you can survive outside the womb without equipment sustaining your life, you are viable. The Supreme Court opinion does not legalize abortion. It says that life does not exist until you are viable outside the womb. And since you are not viable until that time, then those cells can be removed from someone's body. It did not legalize abortion. It defined life and simply said, by opinion, that this is life and this is not life. And since this is not life, then it doesn't get protected and it's just a surgical procedure. Do you see the distinction there? The court defining what is life and what is not life. There's no congressional law. There's no law of the land. There's only a Supreme Court opinion on life. How can we be bound by an opinion that's based on such biological ignorance? Are you going to tell me because something can't live outside its nutrient medium that it's not alive? What if I take a goldfish out of his goldfish bowl and throw him on the sidewalk? Is he going to live? Of course he's not going to live. He's going to die on the sidewalk. Can I then issue a Supreme Court opinion that states that that goldfish was not alive in his bowl because he can't live outside the bowl? And therefore, since the goldfish was not alive in his bowl, when I stick my fork in there and stab him in the forehead, I'm not really killing him because he was never alive. Do you see how ridiculous that opinion is? But yet we run around acting like it's law. The same with marriage. The federal government doesn't have the authority to issue opinions on marriage. These are state issues, not federal issues. And it's about time we know the difference before we lose everything we hold dear in liberty. God bless. See you tomorrow.